Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the call. That wasn't 2 minutes too late to make a difference. The plot thickens in Philly, headed to game six, a game that has all the makings and is now guaranteed to lean in one very noisy direction. We'll explain exactly what that means. Plus, one voice says the NFL's craziest move may actually have been its best. Can we make it make sense? You'll find out. It's time to get up, starting right now. Here we go. Let's go. It's a Thursday. I almost forgot what day of the week it was. Delighted. Rolling on, baby. I'm just ready to move right past it. Look who's here. Zach Lowe for the first time in a long time. Dre is here, ready to go.
Hello.
D-Wood and Graziano, we're talking football. We got plenty more as well. Harry is up early in the ATL, and Tim Legler knocking down threes. We're going to start with the basketball. We'll start with last night's action, perhaps not the two most scintillating games. Andrea Carter, the Celtics moving on to the second round easily. They dominate game five against Miami. I guess the big question is, if they're without Kristaps Porzingis, can they still win the championship?
And the answer, the big answer is no, Greeny. They can make it to the finals, but they cannot win a seven-game series against the top three teams in the West without Kristaps Porzingis.
I guess the question, Zach Lowe, quickly is, when should we expect to see Porzingis back? Will we see him back before the NBA Finals?
I think they're going to play it as cautiously as they can. They've been tentative on the timeline. We will see, but I agree with Andrea. They can make the finals without him.
But maybe not win at all. We'll find out. Legs, meanwhile, the other game last night, an easy win, even easier for Luka and the Mavs. They beat the Clippers by 30. They're up 3-2. Is that series over?
Greeny, I can't say that. I expect Dallas to close this out in game six, but the Clippers have too many massive wild cards, and you can see their offense fluctuates dramatically. So is James Harden, Paul George, are they capable of dialing it up on the road and getting a win? Absolutely. Not over yet. Like Lucas said, they haven't done anything. They've got to get four.
Okay, so we'll see about that one. It's been an interesting series, but nothing like this one has been. Zach Lowe, the two-minute report from game five of Sixers-Knicks was released late yesterday afternoon, and it stated that Tyrese Maxey, on this unforgettable four-point play that turned the game and perhaps turned the series, should have been called a travel. What is your reaction?
Whoopsie! Sorry, guys, we got it wrong again. But I guess it equals out for game two when we got it wrong that time. And all Knicks fans are just mad at Mitchell Robinson for fouling him anyway. It's kind of gone under the radar, but just another whoopsie.
All right, so let me show it to everybody here in case you see it. We've telestrated it for you. We're going to show you exactly what the play is they're talking about. Cindy, whenever it's ready. So here he comes. One, two, and then that third little movement of the right foot. That's what they're saying was the travel. You can see it again here. One, two, and then that right there. Now, Andrea, I've been watching basketball literally since before you were born. That was not called a travel in the NBA in the last 25 years, right? Maybe when I was a kid, that's a travel, Zach. Do they ever call that in the NBA now?
I mean, that's hard to see even in slow motion. I think that's why they wouldn't have called it. Not that it's not a travel, but just like it's so minuscule, you can't see it with the naked eye.
That's what I'm saying. And so it does feel to me a little bit, Drea, like they've created an issue that didn't previously exist. I did not hear, unless I missed it, I did not hear a groundswell of people saying, wait a minute, wasn't that a walk? Mm-hmm. I didn't hear anyone really talking about that until the NBA came out and said, on second thought, it was a walk.
Yeah, I think the two-minute report is an interesting concept to say the least. Maybe Knicks fans were saying that it was a travel, but being in that position in the first place, they're going to be missed calls down the stretch. We already know that. So if you're in a position where a missed call to that degree, that's a very small step, where that missed call changes the narrative of that game, you're already in a bad spot. The Knicks had multiple chances to win that game. That call was not the deciding factor.
Make your free throws, don't foul. It's a non-issue. And also, they got the benefit of it in game two. It's all even. Let's go forward.
Absolutely. I mean, in game two, that same Tyrese Maxey, Stephen A. Smith acknowledged it. He was sitting 2 feet away from it. Tyrese Maxey got mugged in the corner when the ball was taken away. So they giveth and they taketh away. And I guess that's the way it it's going to go. But just to sort of close the loop on the two-minute report of it all, Legs, I mean, you played in the league a long time. Before there was, I guess the two-minute report always existed. They would send it. It was internal, or as I've been reading about it. It was about 8 years ago that they started releasing it after every game in the interest of transparency. I understand why they do it. What is your reaction to it, Tim Legler?
I can't stand it for all of the reasons that we just said. Number one, I think you have the propensity to draw attention to something that no one noticed. Not a single person picked up that Tyrese Maxey dragged his pivot foot. Nobody knew it. And so when you go into this kind of in-depth detail and now you release it, all it does is enrage fan bases even more than they were in the first place over losing the game. Because now all of a sudden you say, hey, they're trying to be transparent. But then fans say, well, then why did they miss that call? And they start to get into like there's some sort of bias or favoritism. And I agree with what they both said. Look, nobody can say anything if you're a Knicks fan based on what happened in game two. All right, that two-minute report, when we all saw what happened to Tyrese Maxey and it wasn't called, it's for all these reasons. I can't stand it. It's after the fact. It doesn't help anybody, and it just riles people up even more.
For the record, so this is the reasoning for it. The last two-minute report is part of the NBA's ongoing effort to build a greater awareness and understanding of the rules and processes that govern the game. Additionally, it serves as a mechanism of accountability to fans and media who seek clarifications after our game.
So, I'm sorry.
Did we lose Zach there for just a moment? But it does make sense because, listen, Zach, you and I both know, and I remember this. It was always, oh, the league wants Shaq to win. The league wants this to happen. They want that to happen. So they say, okay, you think we're doing all this? Here's exactly what happened at the end of the game. Here's what we got right. Here are the 90% of the calls in a game that we get right. Here are the 10% we get wrong, because asking for more than that at the end of the day is probably unrealistic. I mean, I understand it. Maybe the wording of it is a little bit tiresome, but I understand the logic behind it.
I they're trying to show fans, hey, look, we're doing our best. There is no conspiracy. By the way, if there is a conspiracy to help the Lakers, they've been doing a bad job for most of the last 15 years. If there's a conspiracy to help the Knicks, they've been doing a very bad job for like 40 years.
That's true. I'm told Legs wants back in. Timmy, go.
Well, I'm just saying, here's the real problem with it. Everything you just said is right, Greeny. I understand the purpose behind it with the league, but here's the thing. It's not as if they come out with a two-minute report and say all the things that they missed, and then they say, and by the way, we're never going to get these things wrong again. It could happen again in the next game, and with all these different replay angles that you have now, so many things are going to be picked up. It almost comes off when there's four or five things that are called wrong in the last 2 minutes. It's almost as if it's an indictment against the officials. Like, they're not doing a very good job when it couldn't be further from the truth. This is as good as it gets on the planet, what these guys do and how difficult it is to officiate.
That was my thing. I went back and read the entire two-minute report from that game. There were like 29 plays that they included.
You read the whole thing?
Yeah, I did. I read right. The whole thing. I was like looking at they have little acronyms, so it's like incorrect no call, correct no call. If you've actually looked at it, I went through. Four of them were deemed incorrect calls. Four of them out of almost 30. Like, we already know referees aren't perfect. They do get most of the calls right. Send the two-minute report to the coaches so the coaches can have an understanding maybe of the game and how it's called. So maybe they don't have as many challenges or players. Send it to the players, because you really know what makes me more mad than the two-minute report is players fouling in the first quarter and then doing this
right. And
asking their coach to review the foul. So send it to the teams. Let the teams understand why calls are made or not made and leave the fans out of it. The fans don't care anyway.
Fair enough. The one thing I will say about it is that it was just yet another little plot twist in the Shakespearean tragedy that has been this series. One that feels like it's destined to go seven, if only because it's been too good to end too quickly. It feels like every couple of years we get a first round series like this, and we are living in it, and we are here for it. Another twist it took yesterday after the Knicks fans took over Philadelphia's arena on Sunday. The Sixers and their leadership are doing everything they can to keep that from being the case for tonight's Game 6. I present to you the following tweet from the CEO of Fanatics, Michael Rubin, tweeting that he is teaming up with Sixers ownership to buy 2,000 tickets for the game tonight. They're giving them to first responders, healthcare professionals, and other local Philadelphia-based organizations. Rubin saying on X, quote, "We absolutely cannot let Knicks fans take over our arena again." Candidly, I love that.
You know
I love
what?
How that's handled.
Can we,
yeah. I love it. I love it. Yeah.
I'm not clapping for that.
Yeah.
Why are we
yeah.
not clapping
Why?
For that? Well, who could be against this?
I'm not against it. That's nice. I mean, the cities are 90 minutes from each other. I kind of think the mixed crowd is a cool element of a series like this.
I don't know. If I'm Philly, I like it. Give it to the cops and the firemen. They're going to be loud.
Give it to the people that are going to scream for your team. There's no way that arena should chant MVP when Brunson's at the free throw line. It shouldn't happen.
We need at least one Knicks fan to be an imposter, to get one of those tickets and reveal himself during the game as an imposter.
Spike Lee will show up like in a Philadelphia Fire uniform or something like that. Okay. Hey. One way or legs.
Greeny, I just wanted to say, now that Josh Harris is involved with the Commanders, can we do the same thing and keep all the damn Eagles fans out of FedEx Field?
That's a good point. Okay, so let's stay with one series at a time. One sport at a time here if we can. So, Andrea, I'm going to ask you right now to tell me why the team that wins the game tonight is going to win it. These teams are both running on fumes. The Knicks played seven guys the other night. The Sixers played eight. The Stars in that game all played like 50 minutes or close to it. The turnaround time is short. What decides tonight's game six?
The 76ers are going to win, I believe. Because one, like you said, it's just been too good. I know Knicks fans don't want to see a game. They might not want to see a game seven in the Garden. Stephen A. Smith probably doesn't want to see a game seven in the Garden. Everyone else wants to see a game seven in the Garden. The series has been incredible. The 76ers now know Joel Embiid doesn't have to be the dominant force for them to win on that hobbled knee. He can defer to Tyrese Maxey and then recreate as far as his post action goes. So now you're deferring to Tyrese Maxey. They've already had success doing that. If the Knicks adjust to try to stop Tyrese Maxey, he can go right back to Embiid. They're going to win because, one, they're back at home. Hopefully Embiid got some rest and doesn't have a migraine, and they have a big two. They have an opener and they have a closer. We talked about this yesterday, and I think everything relies on Brunson for the Knicks. For the 76ers, they've got a top two tier level that those two players can take over.
Cindy, put the picks up just so everyone can see because we're split right down the middle on what we expect tonight. Zach, why do you think the Knicks win tonight?
I don't know. Just feels like crazy things happen, and it feels like the Sixers should win at home. I didn't like the way Joel Embiid finished that game, really played most of that game, made a few defensive plays. He looks like he's running on fumes. Everybody's running on fumes. I just kind of feel in my gut like the Knicks are going to find a way to gut this out in an ugly, close game. I don't know why. But that's what I feel.
Legs, why do you like Philly tonight?
Well, I just think that they're going to now pick up off of where they left off. I think Tyrese Maxey's going to start fast. He's going to be very aggressive in this game. He's going to make sure that they continue this momentum that they got by the way they played at the end of that game. I don't think Joel Embiid can be worse than he was offensively in the last game. He just wasn't very good, and especially when you talk about ball security. He's going to clean that up. If he spends more time in his sweet spots, which is elbows top of the key where he is so dominant, less time out on the wings and in the corners, I think the Sixers are going to get this win. I agree. It's going to be, I think, a low-scoring, ugly game. But ultimately, the Sixers will get this win and force a Game 7 back in Madison Square Garden.
I'd like to know who decided it had to be at 9 o'clock tonight. This is a very this is not a good time for me. Oh. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I have no issue. I have much less issue with the two-minute report than I have with a 9 o'clock tip tonight in Philadelphia. Those of us who have to be here at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning have a real issue with that. In the meantime, we'll have much more on that and the rest of the NBA playoff situation as we go. But coming up, Andrea, you'll appreciate this.
Yes.
Your hometown of Atlanta. They made a stunning decision last Thursday night. But was it actually brilliant? Our resident former Falcon says the answer is yes, and you'll hear why. Plus, as the sun set on KD's championship window, or can he rise from the ashes in Phoenix? Wait until you hear what the leadership of that team is saying. All that and more is on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Get Up is brought to you by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Premieres tonight on FX. Stream on Hulu. Let's go to the NFL. The next game is called Fact or Fiction. Hey, Damian Woody, if I said J.J. McCarthy is a legitimate Rookie of the Year candidate for the Vikings, is that fact or fiction?
I'm going to go fiction. The only reason I say that is because I don't know when he's going to start, Greeny. Mm. All right, that's the biggest thing. If we were saying that he had a Caleb Williams type situation and we knew that he was going to be a starter from day one, then I would absolutely answer this question with fact. But I think right now you got to get the leg up to Caleb Williams in this situation in Chicago.
Harry, what do you think? You like McCarthy as a legit Rookie of the Year candidate?
Yeah, but I think Woody brings up a good point. Like, when is he going to start? But if he starts enough games, in my opinion, I think he has an amazing chance. When you look at what they have surrounded around him with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson, and I love the addition of Aaron Jones at the running back position. So you have a skill position players. If you're starting, if you're J.J. McCarthy, all you got to do is deliver the football.
And a good offensive line and a good offensive coaching staff. I'm on that side. Graziano, if I said the Bears will be a playoff team this year with Caleb Williams as their quarterback, is that fact or fiction?
I'm going to say fact, because he also has the skill position players, adding Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze to that wide receiver core that already had DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, the tight end. They brought in DeAndre Swift, loaded up on offense at the skill positions. And remember, over the last 6 weeks of last season, this was one of the top two or three defenses in the entire league, the Chicago Bears. So they are poised for big things right away with Caleb Williams as their rookie starter.
What do you think, D-Wood?
Yeah, listen, I think we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, you know, right here in this situation. I love what the direction the Bears are heading in. But it's the NFC North is going to be a monster this year.
Yes.
Like, the Detroit Lions aren't going anywhere. The Green Bay Packers have arrived. Hell, Minnesota Vikings are right there. So this is a very tough division.
Could we see all four teams from the NFC North in playoff contention at the end? We'll see. Meanwhile, Harry, let's go to your hometown, your old team. If I said the Falcons made a mistake drafting Michael Penix 8 overall, is that fact or fiction?
I'm going to go fiction. You talk about a football team the last 2 years who had an opportunity to win their division, but they did not because the quarterback position handcuffed this football team. You look at them right now, I understand they have Kirk Cousins, but with Arthur Blank, with Terry Fontenot, and also the head coach now, is saying is that they're not going to allow the quarterback position to stop them from being able to get to where they need to be moving forward in the future. So I like this pick by the Atlanta Falcons, and Raheem Morris made a good choice.
Dan, go ahead. You're going to say it better than I'm going to say it. It's not about whether or not Michael Penix winds up being a really good player for them. Right. I guess if he winds up being an historically great player for them, we will easily forget where he was drafted in those circumstances. But we're living in the moment.
But even if that happens, they still will have not maximized the value of Kirk Cousins' contract. They cannot possibly, based on what they gave Kirk Cousins and where they drafted Michael Penix, get maximum value out of both of those contracts. And when you talk about the draft, that is the most important thing. Finding guys that can perform at a high level for you before you have to pay them significant money. By drafting a quarterback at 8, 6 weeks after you signed one for $100 million in guaranteed money over the next 2 years, you are costing yourself the value that you need to get from a top 10 draft pick. And look, honestly, I think it got their relationship with Kirk Cousins off on the wrong foot. Here's a guy that moves his family from Minnesota, where they were happy, expecting to be there a while, and now he's thinking maybe it's only a year or two. I think there's a number of reasons why this was the wrong choice for the Atlanta Falcons.
I mean, did they just make Kirk Cousins a bridge quarterback with what they did the other day, D. Wood?
I like the move. Here's why I like the move. I like it because the Atlanta Falcons, when you bring in Kirk Cousins, the Atlanta Falcons aren't expected to be picking in this start anytime in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying to get their quarterback and try to resolve the situation for the long term. There's not a pass rusher in this draft that's going to elevate the Atlanta Falcons to Super Bowl contender. Not one player on the defense side was going to elevate that team to that type of to the level of the San Francisco 49ers, the Detroit Lions, or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
So, listen, in the most important position in sports, quarterback, and I got a chance to get a premium guy that can set me up long term, I'll take that.
So what was one of the things that was discussed was, how is Kirk Cousins going to react to this? Mm-hmm. How is he going to feel about it? Thank goodness they asked Chris Mad Dog Russo about that yesterday on First Take, and he responded as only he can.
Kirk Cousins, you're getting paid $50 million a year guaranteed. You've won one playoff game in your life, and you are not a long-time Falcon. You're not Tommy Nobis. Who cares what Kirk Cousins thinks? You got $90 million guaranteed, and you've won one playoff game in your life. You know what you're doing for your Kirk Cousins? You get your butt to Atlanta as far as training camp is concerned. You play great football, and you make sure Penix can't play because you're playing so damn well.
There's so many things about that I love. If we could unpack, I can't decide if my favorite part is the reference to Tommy Nobis.
Clearly.
Of all the Falcons in their history. And he was a terrific linebacker in his day. But I mean, you know, they've had some other players you've heard of, like Matt Ryan and Michael Vick. But, okay, put that aside for a moment.
Julio Jones.
The fact that he almost died at the end. Not good. We can confirm, by the way, he's okay. We've seen him since then. That said, Harry, should they be concerned that Kirk Cousins is put off by the way this was handled?
No, I don't think so. Kirk Cousins is the ultimate professional, right? Yeah. And him and Michael Penix Jr., they talked after Penix was drafted. And I think, you know, that's the approach that Kirk is going to have. And I kind of agree a little bit with Mad Dog. If Kirk goes in there and plays at an all-time high and puts this team in a position to where they want to be, hey, that's what you want to do. You keep that guy on the bench. I just think moving forward, as far as other teammates, it's not going to bother them as much either. Everyone is there to do a job. Kirk Cousins is getting $100 million guaranteed within the first 3 years of that contract. I think that's enough to be excited about.
Yeah. Mad Dog's yelling at him to do something he's probably going to do anyway, right? Like, all that stuff is Kirk will do all that and handle it the right way. But you still have created a situation where there is potential trouble, right? When Kirk Cousins struggles, or if they start losing games, people are going to want to see the kid play. And that could include the locker room if he's showing well in practice. So you've created a difficult situation for your new coaching staff. I just think it causes more problems than it solves.
I got 10 seconds. Go ahead, Harry.
Well, what if you get into a situation, let's just say Kirk Cousins gets hurt.
Right.
Are you going to go to Taylor Heineke to salvage your season? Hell no. So
well,
you're going to go to Michael
team?
Penix Jr., the guy you just drafted 8 overall.
I get that. We'll and backup quarterback
Ross,
has become
this team, the last two years were handcuffed by the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. The Falcons moving forward cannot go through that situation again.
Fair enough. Tommy Nobis played 11 years for the Falcons and was nicknamed Mr. Falcon, by the way.
Did he win more than one playoff game?
I don't think so. They didn't have great teams back then. Coming up, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs got the fastest man in the draft. Our wide receiver will tell you why that reminds him of another star. Bottom line is, look out, AFC, he's coming.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
As we approach the bottom of the hour, back on Get Up, the aftermath of the Suns' disappointing season continued yesterday with their big three failing to live up to expectations. Questions linger on what direction the team is headed. You have to hear from their owner, Matt Ishbia, and their general manager, James Jones, yesterday, who remained somewhat startlingly optimistic on unlocking this team's potential.
That's a constant focus for us, is to continue to figure out how to maximize Kevin Durant. No one's done it yet. I believe we'll be the first team to do it.
The narrative around the house is burning, it's incorrect. The Phoenix Suns are doing great. Excellent. Not as good as we want to be, and not as good as we're going to do next year. And that's what we're going to figure out. What do we got to tweak, modify, adjust to win a championship next year?
So that was interesting. Zach Lowe, what did you make of that?
Sounds like the Suns had a great season. Are they playing tonight? This team, they sounded, I don't mean to be mean, they sounded borderline delusional. This team won zero playoff games. Zero. They got walloped, obliterated by an actual, real championship-contending team. And they're talking about it like, oh, we're just a tweak away. We're just a tweak away from winning 2, 3, 4 playoff series. They won zero playoff games. This season was a disaster. You can explain it away. The big three only played half a season together, whatever. But everything is not fine in Phoenix. It's not a tweak away from anything. They weren't even a tweak away from winning one playoff game.
Right. I can't decide which of those things I'm more fascinated by. The owner saying, well, the Phoenix Suns are doing great, which if I'm a fan of that team, I definitely don't want to hear him say. Or the general manager saying no one has ever unlocked Kevin Durant, who is one of the, I mean, I don't know where you want to put him. On everyone's list, he's one of the 15 greatest players that ever lived. So I'm not 100% sure, Drea, which of those statements I found more shocking.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. The entire thing was shocking. Greeny, do you know the acronym BFFR? You know what that means?
Oh,
anybody,
yes,
you know what that means?
Yes, best friends forever, really?
No. Do you know what it is?
You're asking the wrong person.
BFFR, do what? Come on.
No. Just tell us.
It stands for be freaking for real. That's what it stands for.
Oh.
Be for real. That's what you would say to Matt Ishbia. Matt Ishbia, please be for real. Be for real, because that he's so far off. There are so many question marks. Even if they keep the starting five and the starting five is healthy, which that's a question mark in itself, because we don't know if Bradley Beal is going to be healthy for a full season. Even if the starting five is fully healthy, there are so many question marks. There are question marks as far as Kevin Durant being happy with the offense that they run. He shot way more corner threes than he has in a multitude of years. They underused him as far as post play goes. That was one of their best options as far as scoring, was Kevin Durant back to the basket isolation. They ran 10 more options. They ran 10 more options than that one. Mm-hmm. More than that. That's the thing. So there are question marks with what offense they're running, who's going to be the point guard, and there just are too many question marks for me. Like, even if they keep the starting five, what are we doing?
An endless number. Timmy Legler, what do you make of this?
Listen, and Matt Ishbia saying that is like the survivors of the Titanic saying it's the best cruise they've ever been on. I mean, what is he talking about right now? My goodness. Listen, here's the bottom line. I will say this. You can't call this yet an abject failure because it's about getting it done at some point with these three guys together, okay? That's the bottom line. They certainly didn't get it done this year, and by all accounts, what they put together and that offensive talent, they underachieved. There's no doubt about it. The roster needs to improve in certain areas. They clearly need a point guard. They need longer wings. They need to add around the fringes around these three players, but there's still more time if they stay together. If they just get one done at some point, get to a final, win a championship, maybe even just get to a final for a franchise that's never won a title would be enough to call this a success. So there still is more time, and maybe that's where Matt Ishbia is coming from.
Maybe. I don't know. I will say this of the three stars that they have. There were no, at least as of the time that their series ended, this may have been surpassed or the opposite of that in the 3 or 4 days since then. When those three guys were on the floor together, Beal, Booker, and Kevin Durant, they had the worst plus-minus of any trio in the entire NBA playoffs. No three players had been on the floor for any team and been worse than they were when they had their big three on the floor. I want to D. Wood in this conversation just because I played him those sound bites before we came on, and your reaction, I thought, was just spectacular.
What the hell is Matt Ishbia talking about? Like, this dude must be insane. Like, literally, the Minnesota Timberwolves, one of the younger teams in the league, literally came in there and smoked y'all 4-0.
Yeah.
4-0, just like Ant-Man went in there and destroyed everything in his way. Like anybody in front of him, he destroyed. I literally said to me this morning, I think the big three era is over. I do. I think the big three era in the NBA is over because how do you build a team with three pieces? It's impossible to build to be a well-rounded team when you have three guys that's just eating up everything. I just don't see it happening.
By the way, we also have to at some point dissect the general manager saying no team has ever figured out how to use Kevin Durant. Did that strike you as an unusual thing to say?
it did. He's the number 7 or 8 all-time leading scorer in the NBA, a 2-time Finals MVP, one of the greatest players of all time. If that's true, then this team better damn well figure out how to do it next year, because to D. Wood's point, like, you got a big three-year window is like this. That's why saying, well, this year, we didn't need to win this year, next year. You got to win now. You don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, start by throwing them the freaking ball sometimes.
Yes.
What was your little acronym there that we were going to use?
BFFR.
Yeah. I'm using that now.
They're not BFFR.
Just say B for real. No, they're not.
Yeah.
No, they're not.
One way or the other, they're not doing it. Okay, so we'll have much more on the hoops as we continue here. Again, the game 6 tonight we're looking at, but the phenomenon that is That Boy Bad is back. I asked Harry Douglas to take a look at three wide receivers that he loved in the NFL draft, and he did it for us. Man, That Boy Bad.
Oh, no. Man, That Boy Bad.
That Boy Bad.
Boom. Oh, damn, Greeny.
That Boy Bad. That Boy Bad.
My goodness, Greeny.
That Boy Bad.
So watch it. Come here. I'm going. Oh, my goodness. That Boy Bad. Let's do it again.
That Boy Bad.
All right, we have missed that one a lot. And so here he is, Harry. I gave him a little homework assignment. I said, Harry, you're my wide receiver. I want you to look at three receivers that got drafted this past week, and I want you to point out the things that make them special to you. Take it away.
Yeah, I'm going to start with the Jacksonville Jaguars drafting Brian Thomas Jr. You see the inside release on a go route, but the sense to get back to the imaginary red line and abusing the cornerback from the University of Florida. Here you're going to see him with a little hesitation, double move, stutter step, and able to score a touchdown, contested catch, and then the post route. Not letting that DB grab his arm, impede his path to go get the football. Another touchdown. Brian Thomas Jr., that boy.
I didn't know we were doing the thing.
Next one. We're going to move on to the very next one. We got Xavier Leggett, who is now with the Carolina Panthers. You see him on this shallow route, and you're going to see that 4-3 speed from this 221-pound man show up. But not only can he do it in the pass game, he can do it in return game. He's a wide receiver in a running back's body. He can't be tackled. You can grab him. You can try, but it's not going to happen. And here again, another Florida cornerback. Man, they got abused this season. My God. Going up and catching this post route at his highest point, Xavier Leggett, that boy, bam! And last but not least, we have another Xavier. But he's worthy of the pick that he got. Give him an out route, quarterback. Get it to him right now because he has the speed. And that speed is 4-2-1. So if you don't tackle him, you're not going to get him. We call this route right here a race route. One-on-one with the safety. If a safety can guard you, go in the locker room and take the uniform off. But then we see him on punt return. He reminds me of somebody that I got drafted with. My goodness. Xavier Worthy is worthy of that first round draft pick, and he's going to the Kansas City Chiefs. Fellas, Mr. Worthy, that boy bad.
I love it. And that guy you're talking about, we'll get to in a minute here, is DeSean Jackson. And here's why. I think the whole league is so excited about this pick. The Kansas City receiver room had issues. They had a league-worst 25 drops by wide receivers last year, 7 more than any other team. It was the most by any team's wide receiving core since the 2012 Jaguars. I should point out, the 2012 Jaguars went 2-14.
Oof.
The Chiefs managed to win the Super Bowl despite having this as an abject weakness. So, Harry, the reality is Xavier Worthy, he's the fastest 40 time in the history of the combine, and you're going to show us why Andy Reid might be able to use him exactly as he once used DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, it reminds me so much of DeSean Jackson. I got a little tape I put together. The first play that you're actually going to see, he is going to catch a bubble screen, right? And like I mentioned, if you do not tackle him with the first guy, he's going to the races because he has that 4-2-1 speed. So why does it look so familiar? Here goes DeSean Jackson on a stop route. The cornerback tries to go for the pick and knock it down. Doesn't happen. But if you don't tackle DeSean Jackson instantly, he is going to the house and off to the races as well. Andy Reid just happened to draft both of these guys. And then you see right here on the punt return, he's a guy that can be a specialist as well. You get the football into his hands because he's explosive, he's dynamic. And then, I'm sorry, Giants fans, I had to do it to you, but here's DeSean Jackson with the game winner. Punt return looks kind of similar to me to Xavier Worthy. I understand DeSean Jackson has done it for a very, very long time at the NFL level, but Xavier Worthy and both DeSean Jackson, we're not just talking about fast guys. We're talking about guys that can run precise routes. We're talking about guys that can take the top off the defense and have that and has that explosiveness. Man, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and also to mention, they got Hollywood Brown too.
Yeah.
So they're going to be taking the top off the defense this year, something we didn't see so much of last year.
Well, that feels to me like an incredibly important storyline coming out of this draft. For what it's worth, DeSean Jackson in his 6 seasons in Philadelphia when Andy Reid was there caught 32 touchdowns, plus all the returns and everything else. But it just feels to me, I'm not in any way comparing, it's not reasonable to compare Xavier Worthy right now to Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill's one of the great receivers we've ever seen. But his presence on the field, it feels to me, D. Wood, and as an offensive player, you explain this better than I could ever even imagine it. Mm-hmm. It feels to me like his presence on the field should change so much of the way teams try to attack them defensively.
Yeah, he'll tilt the field because he has something you can't teach. Can't teach speed. Mm. Okay, speed is the one thing in any game, especially in a game of football, that people are scared of. So when you have that type of speed, I can tell you, like on Wednesdays when we have our meetings talking about players, he's going to be the one guy that defensive coordinator is going to talk about, like, hey, look, got 4-2-1, like this guy has legit world-class speed. And so you have to prepare for that, and that opens things up for other players within that offense as well.
What's been the reaction, Dan, to them getting that player? It feels like such a perfect marriage.
Right, and the speed, obviously, and what Andy Reid can do with it. Look, when you think about the potential of the Andy Reid Chiefs offense, you think about it with Tyreek Hill. You do. Now, can either of these guys, Hollywood Brown or Xavier Worthy, beat Tyreek Hill? I mean, probably not. But can you do something with them that at least approximates what you were able to do when you had Tyreek Hill? I think that's the thing. They haven't been able to replicate it in any reliable way since he left, even though they've managed to win 2 Super Bowls. The offense has not, we agree, right, with the Chiefs, has not functioned at that ludicrously high level that we were used to back then. So maybe one or both of these guys can unlock it.
One last thing. Xavier Worthy, he's not a track guy. He's a football player that has track speed. That's an important point to make.
He is ridiculously fast. We'll come back with much more on this as we go. But up next, riddle me this. As the Sixers' dynamic duo force a game 6 in Philly, is Tyrese Maxey now the best sidekick in the NBA playoffs? We have the definitive green list. The NBA's best Robins next.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
All right, we're back on Get Up. Critical Game 6 tonight in this Shakespearean tragedy that has been the series between the Sixers and the Knicks. 2 days after Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid switched roles, Maxey has become Batman to save Philly's season. He scored 7 points in those 17 seconds, forcing overtime. Embiid has become Robin. And I want to make it very clear. I have been arguing on these airwaves for 20 years. Robin is a superhero, and under no circumstances when I call someone a Robin do I mean that in a negative way. This was Mike and Mike back in the day when we dressed up. I mean, I was Robin, right?
You look just like him.
Yeah. I mean, come on, D-Wood. I mean, that's a pretty good Robin, wouldn't you say?
Not bad. Your hair is a lot better now.
Now?
Yeah, it's a lot better now. Yeah, you're like, yeah.
Okay. How old were you, Greeny?
I don't know. This is probably 15 years ago. So, I mean, I was, you know, in my early 20s.
Yeah, if I'm a supervillain, none of this is scaring me. I'm threatening care.
One way or another. When I say people are Robins, I mean that as an enormous compliment. And with that thought in mind, here is my green list for today. The top five Robins in this year's NBA playoffs. At number five, I'm going to go Karl Anthony Towns of Minnesota. Karl Anthony Towns has allowed this to become Anthony Edwards' team, but Karl Anthony Towns is still a significant player. In their sweep of the Suns, he averaged 19-10. He shot 53% from the floor. He remains an incredibly important piece of that and could be the one that brings them past Denver. If anyone's going to beat Denver, I think they could. I'll put Kyrie Irving next. He's averaging 26 points a game, and his shooting splits are 50, 43, 91 against the Clippers. We also know he has the history in the postseason of making big plays. He hit the shot that won the championship LeBron brought to Cleveland. And number three, I put Jaylen Brown because I didn't know exactly where else to put him. As an individual player, he probably historically is the best player on this entire list. But we haven't seen the huge moments in the postseasons from him. He averaged 23-7, shooting 52% from the floor against the Heat. But that's not really the test that's going to matter. I put Tyrese Maxey at two. Now, again, you want to argue Maxey has become this team's Batman. We can have that conversation. But his performance in this series, at minimum, he's averaging 32-7-5 against the Knicks. He had the 46 points, including the miracle finish at the end of Game 5. But I didn't feel like I could put him number one because Jamal Murray has proven himself alongside Jokic to be the truth in big moments. He had two game winners, practically both buzzer beaters, against the Lakers. He was critically clutch in their run to a championship last year. Jamal Murray, I think, has deserved right now to be considered the best number two on any of these playoff teams until someone else steps up and makes those kind of plays in championship moments. So there they are. That's my list there of the top Robins in the NBA playoffs. And again, I say it as a compliment. Kat, Kyrie, Jaylen Brown, Tyrese Maxey, and at number one, I put Jamal Murray. Tim Legler, what's your reaction?
I like the list overall. I think a couple of things I definitely agree with. Jamal Murray, number one. He absolutely has ascended to that position. And I want to say it's not always easy living in the shadow of another player and being able to thrive and be consistent and being productive and being there every night. So give Jamal Murray credit for that. The next three guys I agree with as well, Greeny. I think it's debatable where you'd put those guys. Two, three, four. I think you can shuffle them around and make great arguments for the order that they go in. I've got one more guy, though, that I think I would put on there fifth instead of Karl Anthony Towns, and it's Jalen Williams from Oklahoma City, and maybe people aren't familiar enough with him, and clearly there's not a long playoff track record for Jalen Williams, but his emergence as a legitimate primary offensive option for Oklahoma City is a huge reason why they ended up the number one seed, why they just swept New Orleans. He averaged 22 points a game on 56% shooting over the last three games in that series, and the deeper they go and the more games they play, the more people are going to become familiar with how good this guy is. By the way, he's also a lockdown defender, so I'd like to have Jalen Williams get some love on that list.
All right, for the record, both Drea and Zach were nodding vigorously along, so let's say for the record you both agree. Let me bring up what I think is also an interesting question here, and we touched on this yesterday. At this point in Philadelphia, has Tyrese Maxey become Batman and Joel Embiid become Robin?
Yes. In this playoff series, at this point, with the way Joel Embiid is hobbled, the way he's struggling to take care of the ball, the way his efficiency has struggled in this series, it's Tyrese Maxey as Batman, and it's Joel Embiid doing everything he can, giving everything he can, but he is Robin. In this series, their percentages, there's a 10% difference in their percentages. Tyrese Maxey's 50% from the field, Joel Embiid's 43% from the field. Tyrese Maxey's right at 40% from three, Joel Embiid's right at 30% from three. Like, efficiency-wise, Tyrese Maxey, production-wise, taking care of the ball and making the big plays in the big moments, Tyrese Maxey's Batman.
I get it. But have we actually, at the same time, witnessed sort of a superhero baton pass, which is to say, going forward, is this Maxey's team now instead of Joel's team?
I think it's too soon to say that. This guy won the MVP last year. Yeah. He was averaging 35 points a game, better than a point a minute before he got hurt. He just had knee surgery. He has Bell's palsy. I think it's – and by the way, for the Sixers to actually get out of this series and make noise, I think Joel Embiid's going to have to become Batman again. The Maxey becoming Batman is a cool story. I think for the Sixers to do something, Joel Embiid, if he can summon it, if his body will allow him to, has to get back to Batman.
This is just a thought that I actually literally just had standing right here. If Tyrese Maxey is Batman throughout the season, does Joel Embiid last longer in the playoffs? Mm. Like, what have we seen from Joel Embiid? Every playoffs, he's injured. So if there's less pressure on him throughout the season, if he defers to Tyrese Maxey throughout the season, do we get the best Joel Embiid in the playoffs? It's just something to think about.
Legs, you know that team so well, and all the rest of that. Can this become Tyrese Maxey's team going forward with his emergence, I think, as a legit NBA superstar?
Yeah, listen, I think he can emerge as a legit NBA superstar, and I can tell you this right now. The people in Philadelphia have far more confidence in what they're about to see out of Tyrese Maxey in Game 6, Game 7, however many games the Sixers play in the postseason, than they do Joel Embiid right now because of his limitations and because of his history, actually, in some big spots in the postseason. But having said all of that, I kind of agree with Zach from this standpoint. As long as Joel Embiid is on that roster and Joel Embiid, you know, is healthy during the regular season, it's going to still look like Joel Embiid's team. Tyrese Maxey is just figuring out a way to max out who he is alongside of him. But there's no question what he has done and the way he plays under pressure. Tyrese Maxey is the perfect co-star for Embiid to try to elevate this franchise.
We have a pair of Game 6s coming your way tomorrow night on ESPN. Cavs can close out the Magic. That's the early game, 7 Eastern. And then the Mavs look to move on by knocking out the Clippers. Coverage will start with NBA Countdown on ESPN and the ESPN app. All right, very quickly here, I need everyone to see something that I found on Instagram, and that is, this is Andrea's pet. Who is this?
This is nothing. His name is Nothing. He's my Robin, technically. Uh-huh. He has been by my side for 11 years. I got him freshman year in college. He's so cute. Oh, I miss him. Wow, look at him. You got to meet him. He's the ultimate Robin. Nope. By my side, 11 years.
Did I not meet him?
No, you need to meet him. To meet him. Who did this?
Hey. Legs?
All I have for Andrea is BFFR. You've got to be kidding me right now with this. You've got to be kidding me with this right now. Come on, man. No. Hell no. No. No.
I'm afraid of snakes. I don't like anything that can walk without legs.
Nothing I love.
Coming up, it's the call that wasn't. 2 minutes too late to make a difference. The plot thickens. More on the series next.